Okay, here we go. All right. There we are. Here we go.
What's a ham wallet?
Hey. Welcome to episode 25 of the Nerdcast podcast, not your regular dialogue. I go by the name of Toner, and I am joined by the rest of the Nerdcast crew, coming to you live / pre-recorded from Site B. I have Joe Dust in the house.
Wait, do you see my dick?
Big Matt.
Hey, hello.
Lori's here.
Hi.
And sound guy Steve.
What up, y'all?
Do I hear music?
It would be nice if I could see you tonight and tell you everything that I hate to your face. Might be a mistake, but when it's all said and done, I'll be able to fill up this empty space. And I wished upon the sky too many times before. And I tried so fucking hard to make a lover from my heart.
All right.
Ooh, man. Yes. Lori, why did you take your shirt off during that song?
Sorry, I got a little hot, but I'll put it back on.
Helicopter.
It's all right. I enjoyed ring toss.
All right. At this point of our show, we'd like to recognize our unofficial beer sponsor. And because Cripple J, a.k.a. Bathhouse J, is probably still in said bathhouse.
It's probably in, he's coming down from his sex coma.
Yeah, there you go.
He's got like six guys laying across him.
We've got sound guy Steve, who's going to let us know who our unofficial beer sponsor is.
Oh. We have the Goose Island Beer Company's Lolita, no sexual relation at all.
It's at 1993.
Yeah, from Illinois.
Or no, what am I saying? 2013. I'm only a decade, or two decades off. Yeah. Wow, okay. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
Sorry,
yeah, it's 91, though.
Yeah. Beer average score of a 91, 9.0 ABV.
91 is outstanding, apparently. Mm-hmm.
It is. Hmm. It tastes like raspberries and...
In a wine barrel, perchance?
Yeah, because I think that's how
Belgian style ale aged in French oak Cabernet Sauvignon barrels.
Yeah. Yep, looks legit.
Yeah,
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Sounds French.
Each barrel receives 50
aged
or more pounds of
8 months or more
fresh raspberries. Oh God, yeah, just get in my mouth right now.
Yeah.
Wait till you see my raspberries.
Okay.
In your barrel,
Matthew.
Yeah.
What the hell are we talking about today?
We're going to wrap up 2015 because we kind of ended on that note on the last episode.
This is 2016 and we're still talking about 2015?
Yeah, we didn't
okay.
finish up, dude.
I don't care.
Do we still use condoms in 2016? Do we still wrap things up?
Only if you're a wuss. I mean, come on.
Fuck that.
I like to make my dick numb like the rest of my body.
Okay. Best movies of 2015. Here we go. Best movies 2015. First one on the list was Mad Max Fury Road. I have still not seen it. I have it on the DVR.
It's good.
It's worth it.
It's really good.
Pretty good.
Next one on the list was Force Awakens, which we discussed in the last
yep.
episode. Very good.
Solid.
My Force Awakened a few minutes ago.
Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Very solid.
I liked it.
I liked it.
Indominus Rex.
Indominus Rex.
I think that was one of Bobby's favorites of the last year, too.
No, yeah, he loves dinosaur movies.
He does.
Yep. No. He met a guy at the bathhouse named Indominus Rex or whatever his name is.
Indominus. That's the sequel. To, okay.
H. Voltron?
He played for USC. What'd you say? What was the next one?
The next one was Age of Ultron. That was Avengers, the sequel.
Oh,
to
yeah.
I mean, it was good. It's yeah it's not bad.
Martian, which I think.
I just watched it.
Yeah, I'm watching it tomorrow.
It's good. It's good.
Was it really funny, though? I mean, it won best comedy.
It's,
why was it
it's
funny,
part kind of... Because Matt Damon says a lot of funny shit in the movie. Not a ton, but some.
Hateful Eight. That's on the list. I still want to see that. This Tarantino's
I haven't seen that yet.
You got Ant-Man. Ant-Man was one of the top movies.
Ant-Man, yeah, it was better than I thought it would be. Yeah. I liked it.
Yep. Creed. I still really want to see Creed. Because the director of Creed is going to be the director of Black Panther.
That's right. That's right.
Coogler. Ryan Coogler. Okay. He also did Fruitvale Station. Did anyone else here see Fruitvale Station?
No.
Man,
really good movie. Really good movie. Based on true story out there in Oakland.
Oh, that was the guy who got killed on the train platform or whatever?
By a cop.
Oh,
imagine
that.
Jeez.
I saw Creed. Well, no, I didn't
Did see
Creed?
Creed,
but I was let down. I didn't go see it because I thought it was a documentary about the band.
Arms Wide Open.
Yeah. Fucking Scott Stapp.
Reverent. The Reverent, if I'm saying that right.
That's Revenant. Right.
Is it Revenant or
Revenant,
Reverent?
Yeah.
The Revenant.
Is it Revenant?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's with DiCaprio and Tom Hardy. Yeah, they had the limited release, like, what, Christmas Day?
I still don't even know what it's about. I have no idea what it's about.
It's based on a true story, but I don't know what's up.
The dude that gets mauled by a bear and lives and fucks supermodels after that, I think.
Yeah. That sounds like DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Spectre was on the list as well.
I can't believe I haven't seen that.
Haven't seen that yet either.
Has anyone here seen Spectre? No.
Speaking of Spectre, did you see Radiohead? What was it on Christmas? They released their song that was supposed to be the song for Spectre, and it was actually pretty good.
I don't know about that. Terminator Genesis, which we reviewed that a few times.
I haven't seen that.
That's good.
Either.
It's worth it.
The Big Short. That's on this list as well. That's the Michael Lewis. That's based on the Michael Lewis novel about the 2008 bubble and all that good stuff.
Oh, it's got what, Carell, Pitt.
Yeah, I do want to see that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Last one on the list was Montage of Heck. That was the
I saw that one
documentary on Cobain.
Courtney Love, murderer.
Yeah.
So that wraps up the 2015 review. Those are pretty solid. That's a pretty solid movie for, pretty solid year for movies. Nothing on there that I didn't enjoy that I saw, at least. That was pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good list.
Yeah. So we're going to move on from there to one of the biggest things. I think it was out before 2016, but it got all of its hype in 2016, was the Netflix hit Making a Murderer.
Yeah.
Because that's what they say in the whole documentary. That.
I see.
It should have been called Yeah.
Yeah.
How to Frame a Murder. Yeah.
Are you still sold? Are you sold on it?
No.
Being a frame job?
Dude, I'll say this much. The people that listen to this, certain ones a couple weeks from now, that's all they talk about on fucking Twitter. My whole Twitter feed is full of Donald Trump and Making a Murderer now. And I don't know if I even give a shit if the guy's guilty or not. You know why? Because he's not the first person or last person that's happened to. He just happened to have cameras following him around.
No, because there's another really good podcast. It's an offshoot of This American Life. It's called Serial. It's on the story of a Ned Syed.
Bless you. Oh.
That's the guy's name. But, same thing. Accused of murder in prison right now. A lot of circumstantial evidence. And we'll see if he ever gets out. I don't know.
It's a good documentary, but I'm not going to go protest outside of the court.
Is that what's happening right now? They're actually people
protesting?
I don't
know. I mean, even Anonymous was like, we've hacked it. And it's like,
yeah,
okay.
You
know,
they were talking about the Rams on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, well, they did, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's a good documentary.
It makes you – the thing about the documentary I enjoyed the most was it made you put into your mind, would you ever want to be accused of any crime? And I don't mean just like, hey, someone says you did some shit. I mean a police officer coming up to your door and taking you into a station. It makes you fear for that.
Yeah.
Because they can do whatever they want to you.
I'll tell the 5-0 to go fuck off.
And I don't
want to
be a dick, but it's not like Steve Avery was – like a fucking angel or anything.
No,
you know?
No, he wasn't.
He's kind of a weirdo. Not that he deserves to sit in prison, but he, I don't know, man.
And what I can say, it's just
people
like
are so emotional over it now, just like they are everything else.
Well, that's the thing.
Nobody's going to care
about it. It's that quick knee-jerk reaction going to the Twitterverse and saying, oh, I just finished watching this. This is bullshit. Instead of, you have to understand, when you watch any documentary, it's always going to give you a slanted view of what the filmmaker wanted you to think.
Yeah.
Give you all of that side.
I've read shit. Did you read that the film actually left out a lot of shit?
Oh, it left out a ton of stuff.
Yeah, so.
And that's what.
Which people don't want to hear, but they said the filmmakers actually left out quite a bit of shit in the film that you might go, oh, okay, well, maybe it's not quite so cut
and
dry.
Exactly. It's not a total frame job, is what it was.
So. Yeah, but that's just another example of people getting so fucking antsy, just like fucking Laurie over here.
So here's what.
Hey.
People on Twitter, though, they're like experts, Joe.
I know. Well, I mean,
they're rarely wrong.
Listen, bro, I got a few years of college under my belt. Pretty sure I know a murder when I see one.
It's a true crime documentary, and so that made me pose this question. what crime do you think you could actually get away with? And I mean a legit crime, not, hey, I went to Walgreens and I picked up something and just shoplifted. I mean an actual legit felony. What do you think you could actually get
away with? I could murder the fuck out of somebody.
You think you could actually get away with
it? I've seen enough Law and Order. I could get away with it.
I mean, you ever worked for a big company, forgery is pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
fraud. Yeah.
That's not exactly killing somebody, though.
Yeah.
A big crime.
I think I could do identity theft because of, like you said, with my job.
I would like extortion.
Almost everything today, though, is monitored through technology, except maybe if you live out on a farm, mm-hmm. like my grandma does, and hypothetically somebody came out there that you didn't like, you could probably dispose of them on a couple hundred acres
mm-hmm.
in a secluded area if nobody knew that person came out there. Hasn't happened, but I was always like, if you had to get away from somebody or had to do some shit, it'd mm-hmm. be out in the middle of nowhere in the Midwest, you know?
So, Steve, what crime do you think you could get away with?
Well, he's gotten away with masturbating on an airplane.
Did you really rub one out on an airplane before?
No. Anybody ever rubbed one out at work?
No.
I have.
Yeah.
You did, Tyler? No. Oh,
it's easy.
I have it City and Stonegate. Stonegate was even better because you had your own private stalls.
Those stalls were baller.
Wait, well, fuck yeah.
Not the cubicle.
Not at my cubicle. I'm not a savage.
What made you want to do that? I mean, just boredom?
Boredom.
Was it like
and to see if I could get away with it.
Yeah. Was it like a hot girl that like you really wanted to get with at work or something like that? And you're just like, well, fuck, I can't get with her right now, but I'm going to go take care
of probably
this.
Could now. She's divorced.
Oh.
I'm just joking.
Fuck.
I kid. Oh, no. Actually, I don't even remember why. I could probably get away with jerking it on an airplane, too.
Is that really an actual federal crime?
I'm sure it probably
it
is.
It's an exposure if you did it right in the seat, but you go to
yeah,
the bathroom.
Yeah, that's true.
Deal.
There's no fun in that.
Yeah.
Drinking underage, there's no fun in
that's
that.
That's not, yeah.
Yeah, I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't know.
I got a laundry list of people I like to murder. I just won't say their names because, you know, this is being recorded.
Right.
I'll just post it on Twitter later.
We'll just take a screenshot and post it on Twitter.
So, very dark, I know. But it just makes you think. The reason why I brought it is because these guys that are in prison right now, they're not the sharpest spoons in the drawer, we'll say that. And it's just made me think, like you said, you're out in the middle of nowhere, which these people are, it seems. They're out in the middle of nowhere with a ton of acreage. You think, you know, they did it. Get away with it.
It's also possible that Steve Avery guy didn't do it, but his brother or whatever did. Yeah. It is very possible.
I don't know. I don't think we'll ever know.
No. No, you'll just get people bitching for the next several weeks.
Yeah. So I guess we'll segue into that, into Toner Talk. We're going to do a little segment called Toner Talk.
Toner Talk.
These are the topics you wanted to talk about. You were very fired up about these topics. You were wanting to make sure
you
talk
about
it. Oh, I
just actually had something to, you know, like, hey, I'm going to contribute to the show with, here's something we should talk about.
Here's Hennessy.
Yeah. Here's, sip on
Tony's that. Drinking Hennessy.
Sipping on that.
I kind of feel like a pussy drinking Lolita beer.
Drinking it
like
straight.
8-something% compared to whatever the fuck Hennessy is.
I don't know.
I'm sure it says it on there.
What is Hennessy?
Let's see. Ooh, 40% alcohol by volume.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Puts the lid in her corner. Yeah.
That's erectile dysfunction in the bottle. Man, I like this beer.
You like it?
The more you drink it, it's very tasty.
Well, it's 9.2. Mm-hmm.
I'd give it a 91.
Yeah.
All right, Tony.
Okay.
You wanted to talk about Supergirl.
Yeah, when because I'm big fans of big fans. Shit, I'm a big fan of Hennessy's kicking in. I'm a big fan of Flash and Arrow. Mm-hmm. That's produced by Greg Berlanti. Not that anybody knows who he is. I don't even know fucking who he had a stroke. I don't even know who he is. I just know he's a producer on those shows. So. The fuck, man. Okay, so Sam Riders are like producers for Supergirl, or for Arrow and the Flash are doing Supergirl. Now, Supergirl's on CBS. When I first saw it, not that I thought it was gonna be shit, just like CBS, kind of like ABC. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, this show's probably gonna suck. But I'm like, I want to watch something new so I can actually contribute something to the show. So I bought the season pass on Amazon, and Supergirl's legit.
They, I still haven't watched it yet. I got it recorded and everything. I just need to dive.
I will say, I mean, the special effects really aren't that bad. They're actually like spending money on the show. It wasn't one of those things like...
Wow. Steve, for
fuck's sake, man. Oh, God boy. Damn. Like a season or like a series.
Go away.
A series premiere or something like that. Like a, or a season finale.
I think that's fake.
Sorry,
laughing.
We're trying to. Sorry, we're trying to be serious. We got a fucking unprofessional bastard over there.
Lolita got to him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Alcohol's kicked in. The fuck was I talking
it's
about?
It's 12:10 a.m. By the way.
Oh yeah, it is late. Yeah,
people probably don't understand that. They're listening.
Yeah, we usually don't record this late. What?
Here.
Okay. God damn it. What the fuck was I talking
You're talking about?
About
Supergirl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Steve, you totally threw me off, dude. People are unsubscribing as we speak. So, yeah, the show's good. Special effects are good. Story's good. The girl who plays Kara. It's not Kara. It's Kara.
Kara, yeah.
Is that like Tara?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sons of Anarchy style.
I know. I like Hopefully, it. Jack Stiller will make a cameo.
I hope so.
But what is what's? I guess if there's one gripe I have about the show, it is fucking hilarious. The guy they have playing Jimmy Olsen. Mm-hmm. Now it's just, not just because, obviously Jimmy Olsen has been traditionally you know white in the comics. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with the a black actor playing him, but the. But if you're going to have, okay, say a black guy play Jimmy Olsen, you should at least somewhat resemble how he was in the comics.
The personality.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Because Jimmy, he's not like a, I mean, he's kind of a geek, whatever. He's not like a douchebag or something. He's, you know, just not a bumbling idiot, but kind of a humble dude, whatever. But Jimmy Olsen in this version they're creating, it's like a tall black dude who's built and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, really doesn't do shit with a camera. Just other than Jimmy Olsen, I'm like,
So they don't follow his character?
No, not at all. There's another guy, one of Kara's friends. His name's Wynn. I don't know. See, I don't know much about her, like, origin story or the mythos of Supergirl. Mm-hmm. But the guy they have playing, like, this IT guy, it's like, I'm like, shit, I'm like, there's your Jimmy Olsen right there. Mm-hmm. Like, he almost looks and acts like how Jimmy Olsen would. And the other guy playing Jimmy should be the fucking tech guy. Really. I'm like, hmm. But otherwise, it's good. Supergirl's mom's a MILF.
And, Supergirl mm-hmm. is pretty high.
Yeah.
Well, in the in Man of Steel, they changed Jimmy Olsen to a girl. What was her name in the movie though? They changed
Was it Jenny?
Jenny Olsen. Yeah.
No, so Jenner.
No, I think it's Jenny.
Oh.
But I just thought maybe it was like Jimmy's sister or something. They're gonna introduce him in you know one of the next movies, but but they do have Martian Manhunter.
Yeah,
and
cool.
and the effects on him are pretty good. Good. So it's I like the show a lot, and I know I want to talk about Flash and Arrow too, real quick. The villain for the season two of Flash is Zoom. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about Zoom either, but I just know that Zoom. Apparently he's a badass in this show at least.
Yeah.
Beat the shit out of Barry. Episode 6, fucking broke his back and just beat the shit out of him. It was an intense episode, too, because after he beat the shit out of him and broke his back, he ran him around Central City.
Showing
and,
off the
yeah.
fact that he did it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck, yeah. And then we got Damian Dark for Arrow. And it is kind of weird that I still like this. Arrow's in its fourth season. But they're going, like, this whole not really meta-human shit. They're, like, going the, like, it's almost magic, mystical type stuff.
Mystical, yeah.
Like, they brought in John Constantine, mm-hmm. which was kind of cool to see him...
Which that's a big part of the DC universe they haven't really touched on yet.
Yeah, no.
And they're trying to compete with the fact that Marvel's going to go that way when they have Doctor Strange come out. So they're like, we've done our, you know, on the ground characters, and we've done, you know, the big guys. Now we're going to go into a different part of the universe. So.
Yeah, I mean it's all been good. I think out of all the shows, I'd say probably Flash is really I would say the best. I mean, they're all good. Same writers and producers mostly, or at least producers. So, yeah, Supergirl's worth it. I'd give it a shot. Hopefully it goes for a few seasons at least.
Okay. And so I guess we can take that into best TV we watched in 2015 if we want to do that, and what we're looking forward in 2016. Because I agree, Flash and Arrow, some of my favorite shows out there. Daredevil still came out.
Oh, yeah.
We got to see that's March. Coming up. Yep, Daredevil's coming up. Game of Thrones is going to be coming back, which I'm really looking forward to Game of Thrones.
I'm still wondering how they're going to do that. Because I know that this season, I mean, it's, well, I guess what they're touching on is supposed to be the final book,
final
I guess.
Book, yeah.
And
yeah.
But it's going to be, the show's coming up before he's going
to
have the book
and I
done.
I think they signed on to do up to season 9, if I read correctly. And I have no idea what they're going to do, because they're going to be out of source material at that point. But maybe they don't need it anymore. Maybe the show writers just go, we'll just take it our own direction. So, but I know they have an outline. Martin gave them an outline to what to work off of. So.
Yeah, I figured like this is where I'm going with it, which, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. So.
Walking Dead, looking forward to that coming back. Silicon Valley, I can't wait till that comes back as well. And then Halt and Catch Fire is going to get a season 3, which I'm really looking forward to that one.
X-Files.
X-Files coming back.
Oh,
to
yeah, that's six. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I love that show when that was.
Is that Netflix or is that on?
No, it's on Fox.
It's on Fox. It's going to be on Fox. Okay.
Is it the 24th?
It's after the Super Bowl, I think. Or no?
No, it's this month.
It is this month?
Yeah, I thought it was the 24th. Something like that.
Oh. It'd be a Sunday. Not that I'm Rain Man. I just know it's Sunday.
But I think when X-Files is on, I thought it was on.
It was always on a Friday. The show was always on a Friday, if I remember, back when it first aired back in the 90s. Yeah. So, and then I guess the worst show I watched in 2015 was True Detective Season 2.
I didn't even bother with that.
That's so bad, dude.
I started to record it, but after you guys said it was just fucking terrible, I just deleted it off the DVD.
Bobby C12 flat out told me, he goes, don't even bother. And I'm like, yeah, I won't.
And I still need to knock out the first season, the one with Harrelson and...
That season's awesome.
Kanye.
And since the last time we met, I've watched a shitload of movies since we last talked. So I was going to go through some of these, see if you guys have seen any of them. John Wick. Did anyone else see John Wick?
Yep.
Yeah.
I really like John Wick.
It was really good.
Because I like movies like that, that no one really talks about, kind of under the radar, didn't do well in the box office. But then you see it at home, and you're like, why was this not really good? Why did this not get a whole bunch of hype? But it was a great action-packed film. Like, I think you'd explain it the right way as, like, more headshots than a video game. He just shot everybody in the head throughout that whole movie.
Just the choreography and shit of it. When I saw it in the theater, I'm like, holy shit.
So you saw it in theater?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay, so I didn't know anyone else that saw it. So.
And like you said, it wasn't didn't have huge box office success, but for what they, the amount of money they produced it for, it did well enough to, because there's a sequel coming. I don't know the exact release date yet, but there's a John Wick 2 on the way.
Yeah.
More Wick.
More Wick. next thing I watched was Rex 13. Did anyone watch Rex 13 documentary on Netflix?
No, what's that?
That's about a dinosaur named it's a fossil that they found in South Dakota. Was it North Dakota?
Wait,
North Dakota.
Which one are you talking about?
Rex 13.
Yeah, Sue?
Yeah, Sue. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I watched that.
It was a really good documentary. Really interesting. Basically about the federal government coming in and overstepping their boundaries, what it was. This private company paid a guy $5,000 saying, hey, we want to come on your land and search for fossils. And what they didn't realize was that land was actually an Indian reservation. It was protected. It was federally protected as Indian land. And so they're saying they didn't have the right to go on there to get this dinosaur. And this fossil they found is the most complete T-Rex fossil in the country.
In the world, I thought.
Because it's 80% complete.
Yeah.
No
shit.
Other T-Rex.
It was like an entire skeleton of a T-Rex.
Yeah, and so it was a matter of the guy that says that he didn't know they had the right to be on it. He's like 1/32nd Cherokee Indian or something like that. So that's why he has rights to the land and to the whatever's on the land is his property as well. So although this team of archaeologists found it, dug it up, preserved it, and all that good stuff. They took it away from them and deprived their private museum in this town of tourism and all that stuff. They took it away from them. It sold at auction for millions.
It was like 8 something million to that douchebag that owned the land originally.
Yeah, and he got all the money from it.
And now she's that T-Rex is in Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
Which I've been by that place five times, like on the steps of it, going to Lollapalooza. Yeah, that's the museum right there. I'm like, fuck, I didn't know that T-Rex is right inside there.
Really interesting story. Really good documentary. Highly recommend it.
Yeah,
really
it's good.
And I got halfway through another documentary. I didn't finish it, though, yet. Soaked in Bleach. That was another Cobain one where they theorized that Courtney Love had had him killed.
I think I was drunk when I started watching that. I got through like 15 minutes and I was like, oh, I'm tired.
Yeah. Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah, Kevin? I did.
Okay, did it end well? Like, I'm halfway through and I lost interest in it, to be honest with you.
It's
oddly done because they do reenactments of it.
But when you watch this, I don't remember like where I was when I found out that, you know, he supposedly shot himself, but watching this documentary, it touched on, there's a whole bunch of details about his death I had no idea, like the amount of heroin that was in his system. I guess I don't want to spoil that, but it definitely makes like zero sense.
Well, and it was just after he'd gotten out of a rehab stint, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't. Because I guess apparently, like, it's like a long story short, I guess he was going to file for divorce or something. And there was, I guess there was a prenup in place where Courtney Love would have gotten just like maybe a fraction of, I guess, probably what she's earned since his death, which is millions.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, his death is, I'm like, there's no way. When you see
legit death?
Yeah.
So you think he was murdered?
Yeah, there was some shit set up.
Okay.
I think.
And having grown up then, I never heard that there was even whispers that people said there's some foul play. I didn't even know it.
I didn't know either.
Him committing suicide just made sense in regards to, after watching Montage of Heck, which I've made all the way through, and I really, really like that one. This one, Soaked in Bleach, I'm not liking too much. After watching Montage of Heck, I was like, this guy had serious mental problems, and he was always had a dark past and all that stuff. I was like, this makes sense of why he did it. But
When you finish it, you're seriously, you got Montage of Heck over here and you got Soaked in Bleach. Like, they're two totally... It's like, holy
stories,
shit.
Yeah.
Not even, like, remotely close.
No.
I'm not trying to call my mom out, but I watched Montage of Heck, and I was talking about it. She goes, yeah, but he killed himself. Whatever. Who cares? He killed himself. And I'm like, yeah, but if you watch the documentary, like, he had a lot of fucking issues, too. It's not like he was just some kid that felt sorry for himself. Like, he had a lot of shit going on.
Would you go as far as to say that Cobain was almost a Lennon-type musician, where he was generation-changing and that impactful? Where you could say, I think John Lennon, you could say, was the '60s, was a '60s movement.
Yeah.
Could you say the same about Cobain?
I think if Nirvana would have never existed, music would probably sound... It might have maybe gotten there, but it would have taken longer. Like, because they were pretty much the pioneers of grunge. Because Seattle had, Soundgarden and, like, Pearl Jam, right?
Pretty much.
And, I mean, I like bands like Silverchair, but Silverchair were, like, 16 when they came out with Frog Stomp and all that stuff, and they sounded a lot like Nirvana. They got a lot of shit about that. I mean, who's to say they didn't riff on Nirvana, you know? So... I think they influenced a shitload of people in the '90s.
Yeah, he's definitely that face. I would say you think of grunge.
I'm not even saying just grunge. I'm saying '90s music in general, because '90s, that's when alternative genre really took off, and it wasn't just grunge though.
You could look at like Alanis Morissette and people like that too.
That's '90s,
it was very angsty music. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could. There's definitely you could definitely make that argument. I think. I'd say that's. I would agree with that.
Some guy got pissed at a bar one night. I remember it was in Jeff City. I mean, everybody was wasted at this bar. It was like a Thursday night, like Irish bar. They had a cover band playing, and there was a dude up there singing, and I forgot who he was comparing Kurt Cobain to. It might have been like Jim Morrison of the Doors or something. He's like, fuck that, Kurt Cobain wasn't shit, and he's talking about that. I'm like, yeah, and then I get, you know, that was 10 years after he was dead, but I'm like, you're probably gonna look back on history and people are gonna disagree with you.
basically just a musician that died before their time kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. He's in, like, what, the 27 Club? Or is it the 26 Club? How old was he?
When Cobain died?
Well, him, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, 27, right?
All before the 30s. Obviously.
They were No, they were all 27. Okay. That's why they call it the 27 Club. Yeah. If you make it past 27, I guess you're okay.
I guess.
Have any of you guys seen the Nine Inch Nails and the Industrial Uprising documentary?
No.
That's fucking crazy. From the people in the 70s into the 80s, and then when Nine Inch Nails came up right then, it's actually really good. I'm still trying to finish it. It's about almost 2 hours long.
He's been watching it for 2 years. I'm almost done.
I got to part 4 of 7, and I haven't been able to finish it yet. But it actually is pretty good because you actually see about all the people, like some of these people from Germany and like what's the one Kraftwerk. Like Kraftwerk and all these people that are did all this shit, man. It's fucking awesome. Because if like you said, if those guys would have been around, would Nine Inch Nails be here? Like I've said, if Kurt Cobain would any of these grunge bands been around? No, probably not.
If Kurt Cobain wouldn't have had sex with that like kind of mentally challenged chick, or tried to, would he have been angsty? All of that fell into place. Hey, I'm not making it up. It's from the documentary.
Here's one I watched that, again, a little bit under the radar. Doesn't get a lot of talk, but I really enjoyed it because it was unique. It was different. It wasn't a remake. It wasn't a sequel. That I know of, at least a remake. Snowpiercer. Did anyone else here watch Snowpiercer?
No, I haven't yet.
With Chris Evans.
It's on the list.
Nor.
It's a sci-fi movie. Not spacey. It doesn't take place in outer space or anything like that, but futuristic, dystopian universe. Where basically it's the new ice age, and they have to live on a train that never stops. Because if the train were to stop, they would all freeze to death.
Huh.
Okay.
And the train goes all around the world. The guide created a track that went everywhere through every continent. Highly, just watch it. It's not very long. It's about an hour and 20, maybe hour and 30 minutes, but. You'll watch and you go, you know what, this wasn't bad. I'm not saying it's the best movie ever, but there's action in it, and it's just a different story that you have never seen before. At least I'd never seen before. Highly recommend it. It got beat up a little bit on Netflix, I guess. Some of the reviews weren't that great on it, but there's two ends of the spectrum of this one. Either you really hated it or you really liked it. And I was on the end of that. Really
it's got a 7.0 on IMDb.
So,
it's
yeah,
good.
It's not bad. It's just worth it because it's different. It's something you haven't seen before. I saw Big Hero 6 for the first time. Anyone else?
I've seen it. That's good.
It was a really good movie. Really touching movie. I saw an interview that T.J. Miller did. He was the kind of spacey guy on there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's also in that Deadpool trailer we just watched.
Deadpool trailer. And he said something that kind of caught my attention on it, where Disney movies always have a hint of death in there. Like, think about Bambi. Bambi was about the mom dying, and it's just about moving on and doing that. He said, but with Big Hero 6, it's the first time you had a Disney film, because it's a Disney property, where they actually dealt with death for a younger kid. So that's why I thought this movie was a little bit more important, was it gave an opportunity for parents or anybody to say, hey, kid, people are going to die in your life, and this is how you have to adjust to it. It's about working your way through that concept of not living forever. So.
Yeah.
Very good movie. Very entertaining. I liked it a lot. I was hoping. Let me see. I'm trying to find one that everyone else here has seen. Whiplash. I watched that last night. Anyone else here see Whiplash?
Supergirl's in it.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
She's the girlfriend.
Yep.
Whiplash is a very, very good movie. Did J.K. Simmons win an Academy Award for his performance? I can't remember.
I think he won something.
I think he did, yeah.
He's phenomenal.
A dickhead, man.
No, he was really good.
But he's awesome. Yeah, he's a dickhead.
He was the
biggest
asshole I've seen in a movie in a long time. But, so what did you like about it? I've been talking for a while. I've been rambling, I feel like. So what set it apart for you as to why you liked it?
Probably the acting, honestly.
Yeah.
It was really just two guys in the whole movie, basically. It was a teacher that was an asshole, and really the student was an asshole, too, that was just trying to please the teacher.
Yeah.
Why would you break up with Supergirl? You're a fucking idiot.
Well,
spoiler alert.
But oh, okay. Yeah, big time.
Not that that matters in the movie.
No,
but
actually, it's a side part of the movie. To be honest with you, the biggest part of them to the take, at least that I
he's trying to please his instructor the entire movie, basically.
I don't even know. I didn't even see it as that. I saw it as a guy that went to the deep end as far as saying, "Hey, I want to be the very best at something."
Oh yeah,
and
that,
this is what
yeah.
you this is what you have to do in order to accomplish that goal of being the best at something, and it plays. It
you have to be a
mind.
Fucking dick.
You have to be.
Are you and Steve going to go upstairs and have sex? Is that what?
I think they're done. They're checking out.
I think they're going to have sex. Is this our first podcast, like, sexual romp that's going to go on upstairs?
It may be. The first time they've had sex on a podcast. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
But
we're trendsetters.
Here's the last one. I had a couple of those written down, but I'll end it with this one. I saw this one. I liked it a whole lot. This Is Where I Leave You. It's on HBO right now.
Haven't seen it.
Jason Bateman's in it. Who else is in it? The girl from 30 Rock. What's her name?
What, Tina Fey?
Tina Fey's in it, yeah. She plays his sister.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I haven't
this is
seen
a,
it.
It's a really good drama. It's a drama, comedy. It's about a dad passing away, and the siblings are trying to deal with the dad's death.
So, okay.
I recommend it. I do. And Steve's humping.
Steve's humping his.
Oh, he's doing the Cinemax style.
Steve's been dry humping all night, covering his junk like it's a Cinemax movie, to where you think there might be penetration, but you don't know for sure.
So, yeah.
You know what movie I'm going to watch probably tomorrow? It's called Backcountry. One word.
It's on Showtime, I think.
Yeah.
Survival in the Woods, I think, something like
it's
that.
It's a true story about a bear that stalks a girlfriend and boyfriend through the woods.
So it's kind of a horror movie, a little bit, I guess. Maybe.
Kinda,
but
yeah.
But a true story?
Yeah.
Based on a true story? Okay.
I know the boyfriend gets ripped apart, and it's a very graphic scene.
Really?
I want to see it, yeah.
Now I might stay up really late tonight to watch that. Then.
Yeah, I know. It's only like an hour and 20 minutes long or something. Okay. But it's based on a true story.
Okay. Hmm.
Inside Out, also, I think we mentioned before. That was pretty good.
Yeah, you watched that before, yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the better ones, probably the last year.
And then This Is 40, I watched that recently, too. You guys ever see This Is 40? I really like that movie.
I saw most of it, yeah.
Best scene's when Paul Rudd spread eagle when he's checking his asshole out in the mirror. Bye. Bye, guys.
So, that's a lot of movies to watch in that period of time.
I did watch that... Elite Squad, The Enemy Within.
Yep.
I remember you going off that the list of, I guess, movies that are somewhat under the radar on Netflix.
Yeah.
Or they're, yeah, that was not bad.
Elite Squad's good. Mm-hmm.
Is it a true story, documentary, action film?
No.
Or
it's just the action. It was action film.
That was one with the police officers, right? Yeah.
They speak, is it Brazilian or Portuguese, whatever.
So it's a foreign film,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which some of those on Netflix, I've been watching a whole lot of the foreign films lately.
The foreign ones are the best ones.
They're really good. But it's just trying to... like read the captioning, you know, translating. It's just hard at times because sometimes they go really fucking fast. I'm like, shit, I can't read it all.
My dad's like, I can't watch any of those films because I can't read that fast.
It's just like sometimes you leave it up there long enough. You're like, okay, I can make it all out. Then there's times I'm like, well, fuck, I gotta rewind it and see what I missed. But that one, yeah, it was good. Good action, good story, the whole nine.
Because I saw a preview when I was watching Whiplash. Speaking of foreign film, there's a. I guess you could call it a documentary. It's called Red Army. It's about Russia during the 80s in regards to... Well, not even just the 80s. Just about how they deal with Olympic athletes and what they put these people through. Because one of the clips was, I guess, a hockey player's dad died or was on his deathbed. Basically, he's like, I wanted to leave to go see my dad. Can I please go leave? And they wouldn't even let him go leave. It was during hockey training or something like that. And I was
Jesus.
Like,
that's probably why dude's like... Vladimir Tarasenko want to play
big
over
defect,
here.
Yeah, well,
there you go.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore. So, but that kind of wraps it up as far as reviews of movies I've seen since we last met and or talked. So, I'm out of topics at that point, to be honest with you. So.
I'm trying to think what else I've watched on Netflix recently. I was on, like I said, I've been on that foreign film kick. Mostly I watched, Wolf Warrior.
Wolf Warrior. What the hell is that?
It was, I guess, it was like a Chinese film. Basically, like this, it's like an elite squad over in China, essentially. I guess they're like the best of the best, and they always go up against, I guess, kind of the best. They try to keep like the the Chinese military like on their toes. They always go up against their running these different exercises and shit like that. But this one guy who just joined that squad, he had killed a drug dealer's brother or something like that. So the brother hires some mercenaries to go, you know, find this guy. It's very like mediocre. Yeah. I got like a C minus, I guess, if I had to rate it. But trying to watch these old school like 90s shit, like some of Jet Li's movies. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, yeah, the kung fu, the choreography is good, but like the story, mm-hmm. it's just like
hard to follow.
Oh my god! Like,
there's a good series on Netflix. I had to look it up. It's called Zero Hour, and it's a couple seasons, and each one's an episode, and it's 60 minutes leading up to a big catastrophic event or a big event like. One's Columbine,
oh, really?
One's like Chernobyl, and it's the hour leading up to the event and what happened to it. It's actually pretty interesting.
I watched a docu-series, or I don't know if I want to call it reality TV, but they call it a docu-series, I think, on Netflix, called High Profits. It's about opening a weed store in Breckenridge, Colorado. That's why I was talking to you about it.
Yeah, I've seen it on Netflix. I just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it was actually really good. It's 8 episodes, and it goes through the drama of them trying to, you know, what all is involved. Because back when they first, you know, voted that in, everyone was like, oh, it's going to be easy money to make all that. And I was like, no, it's not. They go through so many loopholes and red tape. It's ridiculous what they have to do to try to accomplish running that kind of business. And they kind of touch on it a little bit. And I'd ask that, me and Jennifer had asked this question to each other, what about the cartels? They're taking money out of, you know, drug cartels. And I don't know how it's ever going to fly, because you'd think that cartels are going to go, hey, we're going to kill you because you're taking money out of our pockets. But they didn't address it too much in the show.
Right, or they try to do what they can now that it's legal over here. Because you got to think there's risks for them, too. I mean, product being stolen or taken over from the DEA or whatever else, so they can figure out a way to sell it over, you know, transport it legally to, I don't know. No, but I see what you're saying, because I remember I watched something on Vice, on HBO. Mm-hmm. They touched on something of that briefly, where the estimated amount, that I guess, like, whatever comes over from, like, Mexico or whatever, I forget what country it was. It's, like, billions lost for these guys.
Because of being legalized. Because one girl on the show, she quit her job as a, what they call them, a bud tender is what they call them. And she quit because she was closing the store up, and it's an all-cash business.
Yep.
Because although it's legal in the state, you know, California, Colorado, a couple other states, it's still federally not legal.
Yeah.
And so since banks are federally insured, they will not take business money from an illegal activity, quote-unquote. Because
right.
So since they can't take... they can't deposit their money into a banking system, they keep cash on hand. And they cleared tens of thousands of dollars a day in sales, and it's just sitting there in a safe. So you could easily see why a 100-pound girl that's closing a store up that has a safe in there doesn't feel exactly safe walking to her car.
No shit.
So it's a really interesting show. I highly recommend it. Quick watch, too. Only 8 episodes. So good stuff.
Definitely off topic, but since we're on Netflix, I did watch that that Anthony Jeselnik stand up or whatever. Thoughts.
Well, and prayers. I got a bunch of Netflix shit I'll throw at you here in a second.
Yeah, that was dark.
That was good. It's really dark.
So,
but yeah, it's. I don't know, I laughed. I don't know. Maybe I'm evil because I laughed a lot, but it was pretty good.
Dude, there's an independent film on Netflix. Ignore the rating. It's called The Circle. And I think it's 52 people are in a circle, and every 90 seconds or every 2 minutes, one of them is going to die. And all the others, you have to choose which one of the 52 of you is going to die.
It's a Japanese film. It sounds very Japanese.
No, although I think it is maybe a foreign film. I told you Zero Hour's cool. What else was I watching? Propaganda Game. It's about North Korea. Also on Netflix. Documentary. It's awesome. I'm scrolling through my list here.
I did see
Monster Squad, of course.
I did see one. I don't mean to cut you off. There was one. I went to the horror movie section. I was just going through all the categories. Just, all right, what's on here? What's going to grab my attention? Like, yeah, let me check this out. It was rated 2 stars. The fact that it had 2 stars was fucking amazing. The title of the movie is called Big Ass Spider.
Nice.
It's a 50-foot spider, I guess, in L.A., and it's like this one bug guy is the only hope for L.A. or something like that. But I'm like, oh, my God.
Was it produced by John Peters?
I have no idea. Oh.
Michael Bay.
But, I mean, I'll have to see if I can find a picture of it. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I thought I took a picture on my phone, but...
Something we were talking about earlier, Matt, there's one called Please Subscribe, a documentary about YouTubers.
Okay.
We were talking about PewDiePie.
Yeah. Off, he's getting his own network.
Offcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about the people on YouTube, what they do, how they got big. Europa Report, good one if you like sci-fi. I'm just going through here.
I took a picture of it.
Big ass spider. That is ridiculous. That's a sci-fi movie.
What does that look like, Tony?
Look at it. It's ridiculous.
That's pretty awesome.
But I'm like, it's too...
Did you watch it at all?
No.
Like I was going to say, did you click on it just to see what it looked like?
But it's Big Ass Spider, exclamation point after the spider. Attack of the 50-foot spider. One affable exterminator is L.A.'s only hope. He'll need one heck of a bug bomb.
Oh
boy.
And it got 2 stars.
And people make shit like that, which is kind of a campy film.
Yeah.
I don't know. Makes me think I could probably be an actor in some weird film. There's a couple others. Well, I can't go wrong with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or House of Cards. Here we go. Beware Mr. Baker. That one's awesome. It's a little documentary, too. Alone with Her is one more. Mm-hmm. That's with Colin Hanks, and it's like a found footage type thing. I don't know how to describe it.
Horror movie?
It's kind of like Creep.
Okay.
Oh, in a way.
Okay, there you go.
He is stalking this chick and sets up cameras in her house and watches her, and it gets like worse and worse, and he's completely weird. Like Colin Hanks are like, wow, you're fucking weird. And the last one I would probably tell you to watch, which is good, is called The Dirties. And it's
I've seen that. Yeah.
You seen The Dirties?
I've seen it. It's really good.
Yeah.
Really
it's
good.
It's fucked up, too.
Kevin Smith did a podcast with those guys. It was
did he?
Yeah. He was one of the producers on the movie, too.
You should watch The Dirties.
It's really good.
Really?
Okay. It's really messed up.
Two film geeks make a movie about getting revenge on a group of bullies who target them at school. Then they decide to take things a step further. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's pretty fucked up.
It's really
it's
messed
realistic,
up.
Too, when you're watching
very
it.
Much so.
Like, they're very good.
What's the rating on that I got?
On IMDb, I gave it 4 stars.
Yeah, I would too.
I 4 out of 5. Yeah, I don't know what everybody gave it, but
the film, and I think that was
very realistic when you see some parts where you're like,
I think that was their first movie too.
It was. Yeah. It was just two guys that were like, what, 21 maybe?
Yeah, really young. Really
and they
young,
decided to make this like documentary. It's a fake documentary, their acting is pretty realistic. Mm-hmm. They got the people in the school to like do everything with them too. I mean, not trying to spoil shit, but it boils down to big events that happen at a school, you know?
Right.
So it's pretty crazy.
You can kind of get what goes from there. So.
Yeah.
So highly recommend that one, too. Yeah. Watch that. That was a long time ago I watched that. Maybe a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah, I watched it probably a year ago. Yeah. But I was looking through my list, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't think I ever talked about that.
Yeah.
That's cool Kevin Smith had him on, though. Those guys were good.
Yeah. So there you go.
Because a lot of people had to look it up, like, this didn't really happen, right? Because, I mean, when you watch it, you're like,
You could think, you think it did. Yeah.
Hmm.
Very Blair Witchy of them.
Yeah, it is. That's what it is. Yeah. You watch it, and you're like, man, I think, did people just, did that happen?
Well, shit. I don't know if I have anything else to...
I said earlier I'd give a shout out to Jen Fricker and Triple J.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, we haven't touched on one really big thing in St. Louis that happened.
Big local news. Local news.
Oh, shit.
End it with a bang. End it with a bang.
Before that, I said for weeks I'd give a shout out to Jen Fricker and Triple J. Yeah.
Like a version. That's my favorite thing.
Like a version. And then maybe local radio, we might actually have somebody on here too. In the near future.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that's the one big, fucking thing a, in St. Louis thing. That everybody's yeah, been talking about.
No, we got about.
No, we probably still have a good 20 was,
we
minutes.
We started around 13 or 14 minutes, so we'll just let's we'll touch on the Rams thing
it's
and
good.
We'll be done.
So, yeah, Rams are leaving St. Louis. That's the big news. Shocker,
we,
though.
Yeah,
right?
How long ago did we predict this? I remember we talked about that.
I've been joking about it for a long time because I honestly did think they were leaving. And then, like, I kind of, I guess, like everybody else was like, eh, maybe they will stay. It's pretty apparent now the NFL wanted them, or the NFL and Kroenke together, they had this going on for
what bothered
a long
me the
time.
Most about this is I never, you know, hey, Kroenke is an asshole, sure. I won't blame him because he's doing what any successful.
Should we describe who Kroenke is, by the way?
Oh, Stan Kroenke. You know Stan Kroenke?
Yeah, if nobody knows who the hell we're talking about.
He is the owner of the former St. Louis
He's the father
Rams.
Of Josh Kroenke. That's all you got to say.
three-point star.
Yeah.
He owns the Rams, the Avalanche, the Nuggets, Arsenal.
Arsenal, yeah.
Anything else I'm missing? I'm sure I'm missing.
There's also
the
a
MLS team in Denver. I think he owns that,
yeah,
too.
Yep,
so.
That's who I was trying to think of, yeah.
But, I mean, the thing I hated the most was I understand him wanting to increase his asset by moving it out to the second biggest TV market in the nation. But my biggest part was when he said St. Louis is not a viable market. They can't support an NFL team. It was bullshit. He gave us the shittiest product of football over
a decade.
And yet that stadium was still never empty. It was never empty. There was always at least a half-filled stadium. But I think that's a problem throughout football because it's more enjoyable to watch from your home, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah, I love the NFL, but I could give two shits about going to see a live game. Yeah.
It's almost more fun to keep track of your fantasy team now with, like, if you're in a league with people you know.
Which is what this whole move to L.A. is about, is they're trying to change the experience of going to a game. It's not just going to be, hey, you go to the stadium and watch football. It's what everything they're building around it.
And how much is that experience going to cost?
Because Disney's going to be involved. Iger's going to be involved with it as well. Bob Iger, that is.
So somebody's, like, mother's going to die before each game, and they have to allude to that?
Because
Disney, all moms die.
Basically.
Yeah.
How it works. But I don't know. I think fans don't need an experience. They probably just want to, like you said, they're more interested in fantasy football more than anything now. But, I mean, okay, you gave us a shit product with the worst losing team over a 10-year span, and have you ever been to the Dome here in St. Louis? It's a tomb in there. But that doesn't even mean, I don't care. As long as the product on the field was fine, who cares about what's
when
like
was
outside.
The last time the Rams had a winning record?
2002?
Yeah.
Was it 2002?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think they squeezed into the playoffs. No,
best they
like eight
did
eight.
Since then was 8-8. Eight and eight.
Yeah.
And
okay,
that
yeah.
was only like one time, I think.
And
which was like 06 or something.
Was it this? Did we go 7-9 this year? Or did we go
6-7-9?
Was 7-9? Okay,
we
all
lost
right.
Our last game. But
we went Jeff Fisher this year.
Very typical.
Yeah.
But I guess the biggest thing to say in regards to why even bother talking about this, because some people that listen to sports blah, right? Well, the biggest thing I think about it goes is the economics of it, where you had two factions of the city where a lot of people were pro, hey, football brings in tourism, it helps downtown businesses. When you have a dying city downtown, it's literally a dying city with that much murders down there. But
we're actually, like, St. Louis is actually losing people every year. It's one of the, like, three cities in America, I think, that's still losing people.
Well, the people are just fucking leaving.
Well, they're moving out to suburbs or dying,
and
I
well,
guess.
See, the county had no skin in the game. The county wasn't going to throw any money into it as far as tax revenue to say, hey, we're going to help support build a stadium. But then you had this other faction that was saying, why are we going to spend public money on, a horrible team? Two, you got a billionaire that owns the team who could build his own stadium. Why does he need our money when we could probably use this money towards things that really need it? Infrastructure, roads. We have a toxic landfill that needs money, but that would be – the city wouldn't ever kick in money for that. But all these other problems that our city faces, building a brand-new stadium when they already gave money to build a stadium 20 years before was not priority number one. That's the biggest thing. And it really would be interesting. I'd like to have David Simon come in and do a show about St. Louis, to be honest with you, at this point, because of how messed up the bureaucracy is in regards to what gets done and what doesn't get done.
Homicides keep going up. I looked at the stats, and I actually ran all these numbers, and for fun, it was just like, this is what would happen if this, this, and this. We had 188 homicides just in the city of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. That was basically, that equates to somebody dying by the hands of another human every like 23 and a half hours in the city.
It's sad. It's sad, sad for sure.
Now, I didn't read.
No, that's not right. I'm wrong. What 47 and yeah. whatever. Yeah.
Granted, I know I should probably have done some type of research and shit, being a huge news story, and, you know, we live near the area. But they said Kroenke basically bashed St. Louis. Like, I mean, just not just in, other than being a viable market, I guess he just shit on the city,
he
period.
Did.
Like, what were some of the things that he said? I didn't care. I knew when they said the Rams are leaving. When we fucking predicted that, I don't know, over 10 episodes ago, I'm like,
it really depends
no shit.
On how you read into his comments. He was saying what he needed to say to sway votes from owners, to be honest with you. It was mostly the economics of it, just saying that we weren't economically stable enough to support keeping the team there. It was basically going a roundabout way. He did go and basically say, I can't get enough fans to come see this. They're not paying to see my product, so I need to go somewhere where they will.
Yeah.
Which is
like you said, it's a shit product.
Yeah.
And they literally sent Stan Kroenke shit.
Yeah. Who was the St. Louis DJ that did that?
It wasn't a DJ.
It was a podcast.
They were a podcaster.
Yeah. It was a female
Steve
podcaster.
Ewing kicked in.
Oh, did
from
he?
The Urge. Yeah, he was one of them. Yeah.
Beautiful. Now, how did it get, like, which office? Was it at Rams Park? Like, his office at Rams Park or something like that?
No, they sent him to him in L.A.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I think it's funny, and then the more I think about it, I'm like, I think you almost need to let it go now. Nothing's going to change. The NFL does not give two shits about St. Louis. That's pretty obvious.
I just didn't care anyway. I love that football was here. But like anything else, any other Sunday, I'm going to be here watching it.
Yeah.
Well, it was just a matter of, did you grow an emotional attachment to a team that quick? Because when they were here in, 95 was their first season here?
Was it 95? Okay. Did they move here in 94? I thought it was
94 was their last year in L.A. Yeah.
Okay.
95, they started at...
They played in Bush
Stadium.
Bush Stadium
for four games, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was at the first one against the Bears. I remember that one.
Was it great being here? Yeah, but I said it before. I never paid for one ticket to ever go see the Rams game. I went to one Rams game and I think one Rams preseason game once.
I've been to a preseason game. I think I've been to maybe... Two that I can remember.
See, and that's funny because, like, I think everybody would agree the Cardinals run the town as far as sports go. That's not even close. But, like, so as far as Blues, they're always going to be second to the Cardinals, especially now. I mean, the Rams are gone, so they're second. But, like, Blues games, since they've been here the last 10 years, have you gone to more Blues games than Rams?
No.
I was going to say, it's kind of weird how you – but, see, the Blues, we were talking about this earlier, too – Scott Trade, when it's full for a hockey game, is what, maybe 20,000 people? Because, I mean, it's what, the typical arena? Yeah. And so NFL, what was a Rams game, about 65? If it's full, which hasn't happened in a while. But so even you kind of look at it now, even though we had three sports, you're going to lose one. I guess if the Blues can average 17 plus a game, which it seems like they've been doing for the most part.
Because they have a good product on the ice. Though.
They do
That's
have
why.
A better, yeah, it's better than watching, I guess, the Rams, who are perennial losers for the last decade. But, I mean, the Rams only play 8 games here, people forget. Or 7 if they go to London. Yeah. Which is going to happen to them in L.A., too, which people forget. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know. Even if you get a full house, 65,000 times 8... That's probably still not going to equate to what you get for maybe over a hockey season, right?
No way.
41 games at home.
Yeah. Hockey, they don't make their money unless they make the playoffs, because that's when they can jack their ticket prices.
Yep, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Well, and I think this is what goes in.
Although the Rams, though, didn't they kind of have cheaper tickets over the last couple of years in the Upper Bowl?
Yeah, because no one was going
anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like they were probably
losing money.
I don't know how much money the Rams were actually
But they
making.
Make money from the TV. That's the TV
yeah,
side.
That's true. NFL.
Well, because what I think they're trying to do with football in regards to the fantasy aspect of it is what they did to baseball. When you go to a baseball game here in St. Louis, it's no longer, for the most part, to be honest with the majority of the fans, they're not there to watch the baseball game. They're there for a social event.
Yeah.
I mean, you got girls walking through a stadium with high heels and a dress on sometimes. And I'm like, what are you doing?
It's like going to an Alabama football game.
basically.
That pretty much is.
And that's I think that's what they're going to do with the Rams out in Los Angeles. They're going to say, don't come just to see a football game. Come for an experience. Just come for a social event.
Never mind the fact you paid $350 for your ticket.
Yeah.
Dude, you know how much tickets are going to be at that stadium.
Well, the PSLs alone. I mean,
I might have to check it out. It's in my friend Mark's backyard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, he lives, like, probably 4 minutes from that where that stadium's going to be.
Nice.
So, Viacom Diaz is what I say. I mean, it's a shame they're gone. I would prefer to have football here.
Yeah, see you later.
But
so what, are we saying that football's dead here now?
Oh, it's dead.
It's dead.
There's no way they're coming.
For NFL.
I mean, here's the reverse of that argument.
Well, we got arena football.
Here's what they could argue. They would argue, well, why would we ever let you have another team because you've already had two franchises?
It'll be
still
at least
there.
20 years. If
and I'll be like, well,
again.
The team you just moved back there, guess what? You've had two other franchises fail in L.A. before, twice. And why are you giving them another chance?
Yeah.
Easy for them to say that because they had the team.
You think St. Louis will try to get like an MLS team or something like that?
For sure.
I don't think they will.
They will.
I'd hope they wouldn't spend public money on building a stadium for it.
And I read, I think it costs at least $100 million just to get, like, your foot in the door for an MLS team now.
Yeah.
Jesus.
If they, where would they play? Bush Stadium, maybe?
No, they could play at the Dome.
You could play at the Dome, but who wants to go to the Dome
to
watch soccer?
That's just indoor soccer. Yeah. That's the thing, you know? No one's going to go do that.
I don't know.
Unless they knock the roof off, something like that.
No, but the Dome was built for the reason, like you said, that's when they built it, when TWA was
still
around.
And not to sound like I'm not being racist, but the only people that would really care, although people roll their eyes, some of them that might listen to this, but it would probably be the Bosnian people. They would have a huge following for MLS.
Yeah.
And then you got the people that follow soccer just to follow some sport that nobody else cares about in the U.S. Yeah. I'm not being mean, but soccer's never going to take off
here. I guess why this is a decent...
The World Cup does, but that's about the extent.
Well, putting the St. Louis spin back on it, I think the reason why I'd even talk about the topic is... It's a dying city, and it could be Cleveland, it could be Detroit soon, it could just be a city.
But that's really the two cities that St. Louis is on par with right now, is Cleveland and Detroit, because that's the three cities in the U.S. that are losing people every year.
So the question then, I guess...
They're moving out to the metro areas, but we're just talking about actual cities.
My point being, let's say that if the Cardinals were not in the city of in downtown St. Louis... What would be there? What could you? What
if you just had like the Blues or something, I mean, would you want to really just go downtown to?
What's down there to go there to go do or go see?
The only thing they're starting to put money back into Union Station now.
They're going
to
rehab Union Station apparently.
Yeah,
but
it starts in
but
February.
But still, you're not changing the area
Union
Station.
No.
My cousin lives like, you know, IKEA downtown. Yeah. It's on SLU's campus basically. It's right next to SLU. She lives. You can see her apartment from the cafeteria in IKEA's window.
Okay.
And, I mean, her friend this was just like a month ago. And, you know, she's a 22-year-old little cute girl that lives by herself in one of those lofts. And one of her friends came to meet them, and she was about an hour late. They're like, oh, where the hell is she? She shows up. She goes, yeah, I got robbed at gunpoint. All my possessions were taken and my car. It's like, oh, well, hey, at least you're here. But I'm like, dude, I go, if you don't have, like, a covered garage and you don't have interior, I go, you're literally risking that shit all the time. And people don't like to hear that, but I go, you really are. I mean, even you can just go bar hopping like I did the other day. Nothing happened, but it just takes a few assholes. Because I was just in the Central West End. What just happened, like, a week ago there? There's like, two people shot and killed right on the street corner I was just at. That happens all the time.
But not that type of... Well, it depends on... There's a strip of Central West End. It starts at one point, and then it's just one of those strips that's pretty safe.
You know what's weird about St. Louis, and it's true, Del Mar, it's like the cutoff of where... It really is. Like, the pageant, once you go north of Del Mar, it gets really sketchy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's not really sketchy. It just gets patchy, I guess you should say. And then south of it, I don't know. But even south of it nowadays, you just don't know. When you're in the city limits...
You got the Scientology Center south of it.
Yeah. When you're in the city limits, I don't know if it really matters anymore. Yeah. But, dude, I was joking around. Not joking around, but I put in, like, there's 188 homicides in the city of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So, basically, that is the equivalent of a sold-out Cardinal games roughly... I put 43,000. Yeah. So, that would be, like... Every 26 person coming through the gate, shoot them in the head. That's pretty much what it equates to. That's the most homicides St. Louis has had.
St. Louis.
Like, it keeps going up every year. So this might be the year where they hit 200 or more.
Yeah.
If it continues,
are we even closer? How many people die in Chicago a day?
Oh, dude, it's
probably more. But Chicago's also so much larger.
The denser,
than
denser population.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you're saying. So we have more kills per square inch.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Well, if I put St. Louis's
title.
I put St. Louis's. What do you think St. Louis's population in the city is right now, roughly?
City?
I put 312,000. Does that sound maybe in the ballpark?
3 million for the viewing, I think is what they say, as far as our TV markets, like a
yeah.
3 million TV market, something like that.
Well, I mean the metro area is way larger.
Yeah,
you know?
But the actual city.
There's not a lot.
Because Kansas City's. Way larger than St. Louis now as a city, but so basically that equates to one person out of every like 1,650 people that's died last year in the city of St. Louis, and which might even get worse this year. I don't know; it could get better, but who knows? The way they're going, I don't know. Even Ballpark Village now is not safe.
Really?
Fuck no!
I've still never been there.
I've walked inside it once.
Well, the thing why it's not safe is it's like freaking you get a whole bunch of people getting drunk and spending money in one place.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I were to mug somebody
that'd
or something,
be the place to go.
You would just stand on the street corner when they're walking back in their car. Like, this has happened, like, I don't know how many times now. Yeah, it's weird.
Yay. Local news.
So really,
more kills for square inch than your city.
But
and
since
what?
The Rams moved, that's pretty much the shit they need to focus on now. Try to like rehab some areas if you can.
Make it better.
I don't know.
I mean, like you said, economic standpoint. I mean, how much money did that bring in for like the city or those like any?
It brings in
like,
substantial amount of money because of tourism tax and all that. If you bring in tourists,
you know what they need to do now, man, with the dome. Just book One Direction concerts.
Yeah.
Sell 50,000 screaming girls at $200 a ticket. You'll get your money back.
You're going to have auto shows, boat shows, RV shows. You'll have Monster Jam. You'll have fucking
gun shows.
Yeah. Gun show.
Those always sell out. Yeah, but really, honestly, other than that, and maybe like you'll get One Direction or AC/DC or some shit that sells out the dome, but. Or
I don't know,
or,
I don't
like
know what they're going to put in there.
NCAA tournament comes there sometimes, but
you're not going to have much stuff going on there besides the stuff at
conventions,
random months. But see, the thing is, the convention center has its own separate part. The only reason they ever use the dome in conjunction because it sits kind of like in an L shape.
Yeah, it goes
like you got the convention part in the one, but you walk in like the auto show. It's like you got it goes like foreign, and then domestic, and for the like. Whatever else you have, it's just it's you walk from one part of the L to the X, and that's it. It's like, what are they gonna do? Nothing. That's what the whole thing when they built the dome back in the early 90s. It's like, it was good because hey, we can do this and this. They ain't gonna do shit with it now. It's just gonna fucking sit there and rot, which is it's bad to say, but
perhaps turn into a giant homeless shelter to get them off the street.
Might as well,
you know, something like that. But.
Yeah, I never understood the whole use of public. Like, didn't Jerry Jones, like.
Bang a bunch of 20-year-old hookers?
Well,
yeah.
But I mean, when he was built his new stadium in Dallas, how many years old is that damn stadium now?
Jerry only like two or three. It's not very old at all.
I think, I want to say it's like five
that's
or so.
Really?
Yeah.
But didn't he put up a lot of his own money?
He built that by himself. That's all his money.
But he gets all the revenue from it,
right?
Too,
yeah.
So.
Now see, like with Kroenke's a dick. I see a billionaire who's like, well, shit, you give me the money and I'll fucking, you know, let's build this shit.
He's the 63rd richest person in America.
I have no idea.
But the thing is,
but he got all his money from marrying into the Walton family. That's how he got
yeah.
all his
yeah,
money.
Yeah, but my thing is, if I'm gonna have a team in any city, and if I'm truly want to partner with this city, it's a worker deal. Like, hey, I'm willing to put up, you know, some of my money here. How about we work together and, you know, but to have him like, you know, the
public.
Well,
the city was going to put up, what, $500 million on their own, something like that? Or was it $300 million? I don't remember. It was a substantial amount.
Yeah, it was like a $1 billion stadium, though,
it was like $1.1 billion, I think.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not all of that was going to come from the city, though. It had to do with state bonds.
But still, yeah,
like
but
that.
Shit, you got the state?
Oh, it would have been like
Jerry,
a state. It would have been state of the art.
Jerry Jones has got it made because he's got three major title games there. Like, he's got
one of them's a bowl game.
One
yeah.
of them's, he's got a bowl game now for like the next X amount of years.
My uncle works for Dr. Pepper. He's got tickets every year. Yeah.
And he's got that place down there reserved for like three or four major like championship games. He's fucking set. college and
everything. I've been on the outside of it. I didn't go in. I just looked through the glass. I'm like, eh, yeah, it's pretty
all
big.
All I remember is when Conan O'Brien did a special there. They played Madden on the big, huge screen.
See, that would be awesome.
That'd be sweet. But I give them props for Dallas. They have a loyal fan base because the Cowboys haven't done dick.
No, they sell out, like, every game.
Yeah, but it's like they haven't made the playoffs. You're always guaranteed they're going to finish 7-9 or 8-8 almost every fucking now. Now, this year, they could have been good, but you had Romo go down early, Dez Bryant. They probably could have won the NFC East.
Yeah.
No, granted, that's not saying much.
No, they had bad injuries.
Football, but yeah, but the Cowboys really don't do dick.
Well, that's the difference between here and Dallas, though. Football is a culture down there. It's not just a sport.
RG3's
it's a freaking it's cult just, down there.
It's
yeah.
not. It's not a source of entertainment. It's a way of life for them.
Yeah.
Big time.
Starting from like freaking elementary school.
And that's why they like they said, of course, football is going to fail in St. Louis. It's only a baseball town because they figure that baseball is part of our culture, which I don't.
And really, soccer is huge here.
Soccer's huge.
I just don't know if I don't see St. Louis showing up for like an MLS team on the regular. You know. Like, it would be a big novelty for a year or two, and then you just phase out. You can't build a new stadium.
That's exactly what's going to happen in L.A. It's going to be novel to go for a little bit for the first year or two, just because it's brand new, goes to this cool new stadium, and then they'll back off. Because they're not impassionate fans, in my opinion.
But it's
because the thing about the Dodgers. Dodgers, they didn't pull anybody. Anaheim didn't pull any fans until the product on the field was good. As soon as that product starts to suck, those fans will be the first ones.
Can I point out, so this dude that's on TV, he's on after SNL. He's been doing this for like the last month or so. At first, he was trying to give you business advice, and sure as shit, what's he doing now? He's pointing at Bible verses on the TV. I pegged it. He was slowly leading into like, I don't even know his name. He like buys airtime. The dude's got to have money or whatever foundation this is because they buy primetime slots right after SNL, like every new episode. Yeah, I told you. God, I pegged it.
Wrap us up, man. It's hour and 27 in.
Well, it was 15 minutes of nothing, too. So.
Yeah.
But I know. I think we touched on everything we wanted to talk
so
about.
So local news is done. That's it. Rams are gone. St. Louis is dying.
Jay, maybe you'll actually come back for a fucking episode.
I don't think in our lifetimes we're going to see another NFL team here, but who knows? Maybe in the future.
I still don't get the whole L.A. craze. I mean, how many fucking teams are you have? So, California is just inundated with sports, hockey,
dude,
basketball.
St. Louis
football.
Needs to do something big to get people to want to live in their city, and I think you know what Kansas City did. They, which sounds really stupid, they installed that fiber wire there.
Yep.
And all these tech companies wanted to come there because it's super fast internet. I remember talking to a dude in L.A. I was at a bar. He's like, oh, you're from Missouri. You from Kansas City? I go, oh, I'm from St. Louis. He goes, man. He goes, I think my company, we might go to Kansas City. They got the fiber wire. I'm like, fuck, okay. That's like a legitimate thing. You're getting all this new blood coming in,
well,
getting money, building little
businesses
stadiums.
In St. Louis is not the issue. We have plenty of Fortune 500 companies here. Yeah, that has never been the issue because the city makes it. They give them the big tax breaks to say stay here, come here. That's not the big issue. So I don't think business support of a sports team is the issue or something like that.
No, I mean just getting
newer,
growing.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean sports teams. Yeah.
So there you have it. That's it.
Well, here's hope to breaking 200 homicides this year.
I don't know what they're at right now. They ended at 188 last year.
If there's any city that
that's
can do
like,
it,
of course, that's always an unofficial number because there's probably fucking people that are out there that you aren't going to find. that's the truth, too. Yeah. Or you'll find them a couple years later. There's bones in like in Alton. They found them in a elementary school playground. These kids found a dead body. Like, oh, yeah, I don't know who
that could always ask Alexa.
What?
How many homicides?
She'll probably go, I don't know that answer.
I'm waiting for her to respond. Go fuck yourself.
I'm tired of your guys' attitude.
Yeah. All right. Well, shit, it is, oh, shit, it's 108. Fuck, sorry, Matt.
No, we're good.
All right, well, hopefully we started off 2016 strong. I was tired for both episodes, so I really don't know. I guess we'll find out. Jay will give us numbers.
Oh, man, one more thing I should probably do. Like Marcus, you know?
Oh, can we give Marcus a shout-out?
Well, I was going to give him a shout-out.
Right?
And Marcus, you know, I've been listening to you, and if I were to impersonate you, I'd go, man, fucking, I'm going to crush some fucking Vicodin up. Fucking, that's cool, right? I don't know. Fucking, what have you been watching on fucking Netflix? Yeah, that's cool. Shout out to my fucking boys. All right. Shout out, Joe Dust. Shout out. All right. Fucking bye. That's my impersonation of you.
You can find the real on that.
Marcus
one.
Is the
Marcus
man.
Is yeah, the well, real one. IJOV.
Yeah.
He leads the podcasts in the word fucking.
Yep.
I'm not even exaggerating. He says fucking every sentence.
I'll be sure
I love it.
I'll be sure to let him know, hey, yeah, you're listen to the end of our episode here.
Fucking just listen.
Fucking yeah. Fucking A. All right. Jesus. All right. Good podcast as usual. Episode, that was 25.
25. Oh, 25. In the books.
All right. Good.
We're almost to 30.
Oh,
we're
shit.
Starting to get a feel.
Gonna start getting desperate.
If we were a female or male at 25, now you're starting to figure out your path in life.
Yeah. Still got a lot of student loan debt, maybe, at this point in life. You
know. Yeah.
Your insurance just dropped.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
Yay. Something to look forward to. All right. Well, cool.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen. Oh, fuck. Good job as always. Hopefully. Maybe. We're all yawning. Yeah. Okay. Planned Parenthood. No condoms. I don't wear it. Fuck condoms. They're chumps. I like to play Russian roulette with my penis.
Me too. I put a gun to it.
If you don't work, guess what happened?
All right. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us for episode 25 of the Nerdcast podcast. Be sure to check us out online at nerdcast.com. That's NYRDCAST. com. Check us out on our social media accounts, Twitter and Instagram at Nerdcast. Again, NYRDCAST. Because if I don't spell it, Jay gets an erection. I don't know. I just made it far up.
In the bathhouse.
That's right. We are on Facebook. Also, we might do some of that page. I really don't fucking know. We are on iTunes. Rate us, please. Give us 6 stars instead of 5. I don't even know if that's possible.
You could try.
You could try.
You could dream.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay. All right, thanks again. I go by the name of Toner.
Fucking Joe Dust.
Matt.
Sound guy Steve.
So until next time, do whatever it is you do. Peace.
See ya!
Bye.
Here we go.
Let's talk really quiet this episode.
Wait till you see my dick.
Wait till you see my dick.
Hey, bitch.
Wait till you see my dick.
I'ma beat that pussy.
I can't remember the lyrics to that.
Wow. This younger is trying to do sex with her English. Or no,
she's
her
trying to do sex. Are you trying to do sex with me?
Today's music is from Short Stories. This is their track, Don't Flatter Yourself.
Yeah!
When I was only seven, I would dream of Valorant, thinking anyone.